a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
KSL at Night was recorded and produced this afternoon. KSL at Night. Some of Utah's top political specialists join a roundtable on the day's biggest stories. This is KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back. You are joining us on an epic night again. It's KSL at Night, the very, very first episode. You're here tonight with Mara Carabello and Greg Skordis. We are moving into a topic that is all too often prevalent. Today, I read on my way to the studio, I read a story about six historically black colleges were closed because of bomb threats. In Utah, we've had some anti-Semitic graffiti and tagging. We've certainly all been following the Davis County school issue and racism so much every day. And we need help sorting through it and answering the question of what we can do. So we have someone here that we are lucky in the state of Utah to have, Teresa Martinez. She's a professor at the University of Utah. And thank you so much, Teresa, for being with us tonight.
Thank you for the invitation.
So there's so much going on in the area of violent speech and passionate outcries. And I would dare say we haven't seen this level of violence and particularly racially underpinned violence in America for quite some time. How do we start unpacking that?
Well, for one thing, we actually have to start the unpacking. It does no good to, you know, sweep it under the rug or hide the fact that it's going on. People don't like to talk about these things, believe me, because I teach about it all the time. And it's difficult for students, even in a class about inequality, to hear that these things are going on. I mean, to be honest, for decades, my students denied that it was going on. And I kept having to try to remind them that, of course, it was. The events these days, wow, in the last particularly, 6-7 years, have been so violently blunt, you know, that it's so much harder for people to deny that things are going on, although amazingly they do. So starting with acknowledgement that we have a problem is a really big step.
And Professor Martinez, it also occurs to me that we can't ignore these threats. We can't fail to take them seriously. The FBI reports that, as Mara indicated, bomb threats around the country involving six historically black colleges and universities have occurred, shutting down classes today. I mean, is this a sign of the times, or is it just maybe some sort of random act by some crazies, or what do you suppose is causing this?
Well, I think that by the way, these bomb threats are starting to spread across the country. We had a bomb threat at our own Black Cultural Center on the University of Utah campus, which, by the way, is an amazing, amazing place for our students to go, to learn, to achieve. And University of Chicago had a bomb threat. I think Cornell University, maybe it was Cornell University and not University of Chicago. Either way, these things are starting to happen more and more often. I believe, unfortunately, we're living in a climate that is accepting of misinformation and of just downright lies. And so people are, you know, really joining strange conspiracy theories and not really knowing what's actually going on, or maybe in denial about what's going on. You hear that in the voices of people, for example, in Davis School District that was found to have really serious issues with racism And one of the parents saying, no, to talk about race is divisive. But no, it's only in actually looking at these issues, paying very close attention to how they're, you know, basically gathering data on them and also starting to confront them. And confrontation of these issues is not easy, but it can be done on several levels.
So one of the things I think you do so well, I'm going to stay on the theme about bringing it up. What do you have advice on the language we can use to have the discussion and not the accusation, right? I mean, we're all so worried about not offending, which is fair. But like you said, the light of day happens with our discussions of it and shedding a little light on it. Do you have even, you know, words we can use, or do we just start talking about it? What are some practical application to start the conversation at our dining room tables or in our car while we're driving with friends?
It's such a great question. All of these are great questions. Really, it does begin with just starting to talk. And by the way, when we start to talk, we can't shut each other down either. Mm-hmm. So I've had discussions in classes where students just get very angry at a particular student who doesn't necessarily understand or believe what's going on. And they're like, you're so ignorant. I mean, I'll never forget last spring when I was teaching on Zoom and people just attacked each other in the chat. And finally, I just stopped that. I shut the chat down and I said, you need to learn to start talking to each other. I said, because if you can't have a conversation in a college class, how are you going to survive in the work world? How are you going to survive anywhere? We have to listen to each other. And then by means of actually just listening and saying, okay, well, I don't believe this is true. It's not really true. Okay, so let me tell you what's actually happening. So there's a young woman by the name of Isabella Izzy Tickener who committed suicide at the age of 10. You know, you start talking about what's actually happening. Then people are at finally you get outrage. I mean, my students are like, my gosh, this actually happened. Then when they wake up to it, then you're like, okay, what do we do with this? What do we do with this? And I'm like, okay, here are the steps to take. Number one, you start getting involved with it at the level that you can. Right now you're a student, but when you graduate, when you're in graduate school, maybe there's a place in graduate school where you can start helping there, for example, whichever institution you're at, you can find out who the diversity officer is. You can find out how you can become involved. Let's get you past graduate school. What profession have you chosen? Are you going to be a social worker? Are you going to be a lawyer? Are you going to be a police officer? All of those professions, and by the way, pretty much every profession can be an avenue for bringing up these discussions and for creating positive change. You know, I tell my students that if you commit to justice, fairness, and social justice, then you can find roots through committees, through marching even, through volunteerism, with your own family. And you know, you alluded to this, Mara, by saying, you know, at our dinner tables. And, you know, really by just saying, hey, you know, we have a history of this, and let's talk about that. And what have you seen? People see it all the time, by the way. Kids hear it all the time. I would go speak in a junior high school. I'd speak in an elementary school, and they'd tell me, sure, we hear racist things. You know, we hear that word, you know. Then you say, oh, well, how did that make you feel? You know, well, I didn't really know what it meant. I don't know why they're using it. Well, you know, honestly, this word is very hurtful to people. You know, depending on your audience, you can unpack more and more. If you're talking to professionals, you can tell them very straightforwardly that we have a problem with systemic racism on multiple levels, on the individual level, the community level, and the institutional level. And you can unpack that.
Right.
Professor Teresa Martinez, thank you for joining us today. You know, Mara, that's a topic that we need to, she talked about teaching at the colleges. That's a topic we need to start with at the junior high level and the high school level. And I think that the findings from the Justice Department relating to the Davis School District sort of reiterated that.
And I want to just say, I like what she said. Use your own words. Let's use however we say things. But the act of just pushing back and pointing out how much we have in common in whatever vocation we're in and whatever words we use is the answer to stopping.
night. And don't be afraid to talk about it. When we come back, we're going to talk about another subject that's we're having some trouble with right now, and we're going to talk about water. We had a good January. We had some snow, and I'm a skier. I'm up there every weekend, but boy, since then it's been a little weak. So we'll see where we are.